And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
You'll be the best, and you gotta pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you gotta do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodriguez, and guys, it's Big Feelings Week in Los Angeles. We have a lot to talk about. So first and foremost, I have to ask you, and I'm sort of bracing myself for the response. Guys, how we doing? Yeah, so I'm recording this on a Tuesday afternoon. I just got off a press conference with new Rams backup quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, so apologies that this is a little bit delayed, a little bit of schedule reshuffling this morning and yesterday, as a couple of guys, Cam Curl, the new safety, 2-year deal, and Jimmy Garoppolo, the new backup quarterback, 1-year deal, both arrived to take their physicals and to sign their contracts officially. So more specific terms of those will become clear in the coming days, as the Rams formally file them over to the league office. That's when we can get the real numbers, not the inflated numbers. And, before all of that, over the weekend, I know that a lot of you guys and, you know, honestly, I think everybody was processing big time feelings about Friday's news, the retirement of the greatest and certainly one of the greatest of all time football players in general, and one of maybe three defensive players who are currently in the conversation, greatest defensive players of all time, in my opinion, argue with the wall, the retirement of Aaron Donald. I wrote a column about this. It's over at The Athletic, and it was also in Monday's New York Times. And it's a tribute to a legend and what covering Aaron Donald was like, trying to peel back the curtain to give you guys a little bit closer of a look at what it was like to watch Aaron practice every day as a gateway into what it was like for coaches and teammates and anybody in that building to be around Aaron Donald as he practiced every day. As I said in the column, because he was so dedicated to the process of getting great, he reached this other layer of greatness that so few reach ever. Even the great ones sometimes don't reach that next layer of greatness that Aaron Donald was able to reach. And it's because he was so invested and immersed and took so much joy from the process of becoming great. And it affected everyone around him. And it certainly affected people I've talked about in the column. I hope you go read it. I know a lot of you guys have. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for such kind words. I am just one very humble voice trying to pay tribute to somebody I feel very grateful to have gotten to watch for the last 4 years, right there in front of me every day, working on his craft. And I hope you guys know, you already know, I don't take this job for granted at all, but it does hit you sometimes as a football fan, how lucky I am as someone who is so passionate about the sport and the game and wants to know everything about it and has so much to learn. And hopefully I'm doing this for a long time. And to get to see that, to see somebody who epitomizes such greatness, and watch their habits, to see how they are with other people, to really take such lessons from all of the little micro moments that happen over the course of a day, a week, a month, years, four seasons. I find myself very, very grateful for that. And I know that Rams fans were grateful to watch him on the field on Sundays. In my mind, I've certainly never covered a player as elite as Aaron Donald. And I think many, many writers could say the same, that there are very few who ever will reach his status and ever have reached his status. And I hope you guys go read it. I can't say it better than I can write it. So one of my personality flaws, I guess. So they said, hey, let's give her a podcast. What could go wrong? But yeah, I hope you guys go read it. And again, for those who have read it, and I know many of you have because I do see what those numbers are. I'm blown away by you. I'm so grateful to you. I apologize that this podcast is coming late. I think first of all, there was a lot to process and a lot to do first, right? Like this tribute was really important to me to make sure that that came first. I know there was a lot of questions and I tried to very respectfully address the sheer volume of questions that I was getting that weren't sitting there and soaking in like what I really wanted for the fan base, right? I wanted this moment for you guys to just sit with this for a minute and just to think about who he has been for you and who he has been for this franchise and a franchise that around whom everything, so much of what they did was constructed and planned. And we always joked about the Aaron Donald contention window and the Rams are entering a new world now in so many ways that reach so much further than what the product looks like on the field on Sundays. And that's going to be difficult. It's something they've been preparing for ever since 2021, that Super Bowl year when, you know, he seriously did consider retirement. I know that some want to make it about the contract. I understand, you know, some of the optics of the situation there, but that was a real consideration that he would retire after that Super Bowl. And from what I know about Aaron and his family, that 10-year number, it just looks, it's a really good milestone marker. There's a musicality to it. It's the Barry Sanders number, and there was very little left to accomplish. In walking away now, Aaron knew he was walking away from not just the final year of his contract, but I want to make very, very clear, $35 million. So kind of this chatter about, you know, highest paid D tackles and some of these things that are floating around the internet right now. I do want to reiterate that, like, for 2024, $35 million, is significant. That's quarterback money. That is the very, very top of the defensive line market. And that would have been guaranteed. And that's a huge amount of money to walk away from. So this was a really significant decision. And what I wanted for you guys was before I started going about answering questions and then also deprocessing like via podcast, was that you all had some time to really sit with it and reflect. And I hope you did that. And I hope, you know, all of those ticky-tack questions, what does this mean for the salary cap? What was the restructure? Those were questions I got like in floods. And what I really hoped that everyone took some time at some point over the last few days to do was just like love the sport of football that people are fans of. Like as fans of this team, I hope you guys did take some time to be fans of this team. All of those things, the structure of the contract, that actually isn't possible to know at this very moment because there are a few things that can be activated over the next couple of months that I'll get into here in a moment. Some of these things are unknowable at this time. And so I'm just going to dive into it. Some of the questions I've seen now that I feel like I have personally done my due diligence to reflect and to do my job and to sort of try to encapsulate for this group of readers and fans of the sport who this person was to this team and what it meant to watch him go about, you know, perfecting his craft every day. So I'll start here. I've been told this, and to the best of my knowledge, after digging around various corners and pockets of the franchise, was that yes, the Rams knew this was coming. Now they knew some of them had an idea that it was coming. And some of them knew as free agency began, as they were sort of solidifying their final plans for free agency. Yes, the Rams knew about this. I, I would say only a very small select group of people knew for longer than that or believed that this was the direction that things would go prior to that. Sean McVay and Aaron had a conversation after the Detroit wildcard game, and where he spoke with Sean about feeling complete, feeling like he was going to be ready to go. So I want to start putting the pieces together for you guys, because there was a order of operations here. And I think that one of the things that the cause and effect reactions I've been seeing on social media is the Rams were left in a lurch. And so they didn't compete in free agency for D-line or edge because they were caught by surprise. That is false. And so I'll kind of go through the order of operations. I've also written about why they spent and invested the way that they did in free agency, especially on their offensive line, over at theathletic.com. And a lot of you have read that too, so I thank you for that. But I know that there's still things floating around and questions. And so I'm just going to do my best and share what I know, understanding that I've tried to do that work behind the scenes. So if we go all the way back to that Detroit wild card game, the first red flag that I felt that we, and then we as a beat collectively all saw, and that's important, and I'll get to that in a minute, was, yes, he said, when I asked, I was the one who asked him in the scrum, like, are you committed to rolling this back with the same group in 2024? It's a real question because we know that the consideration for retirement was real. So you want to ask, you know that he's going on vacation. You know that you won't get a chance to talk to him again or hear it directly from him again. So the part of the job is that you ask, and he was very amiable and really awesome to take the time with us post game there. And said, yes, and said for sure. And I tweeted that out and that tweet, you know, got picked up and all of that. And you guys, I know you guys saw that. So to me, but then we talked with Sean, I want to say like 2 weeks later after he had made a lot of his coaching hires. And because this was a real question in 2024, and because as the Los Angeles Times, Gary Klein wrote a beautiful, really, truly lovely column about Aaron Donald over on the LA Times, and you should go read that. There also was a moment between Gary and Aaron post game where Gary followed up and did his due diligence as a beat reporter and followed up with Aaron and, you know, tried to reconfirm. And Aaron sort of joked around with Gary and then like sort of like fake tackled him. And it was really funny. And Gary really cherishes that memory and wrote about that in a very lovely way. And so about 2 weeks later, we were on the phone with Sean and we were talking about his coaching changes. And so the question came up again because of that small, tiny little seed of that joking around moment after he had sort of publicly said, yes, I'm going to be like for sure he committed to roll back. And the structure of the contract said so much that there was such a huge financial investment into his return, but there was just that little tiny sliver of doubt that you think, okay, well, you know, we have to keep asking about this and the head coach has to commit to it and the GM has to commit to it. And oh, by the way, they don't talk on the record very often in the off season. And so you have to bide your time and you have to wait. And so you can gather and source and go behind the scenes all you want, but someone saying something on the record is very, very important to reporting process. And so, Sean mentioned in his, post game, or excuse me, at 2 weeks later, he responded to those post game comments, when asked, and he basically said, I'm paraphrasing slightly here. He goes, well, we can't take to heart too seriously what a player says as they come down from the adrenaline of the game and the season. He even referenced Jason Kelce, who, you know, had retired this year. And he and Les Snead, when asked, because that little seed of doubt, because there wasn't an overt commitment on the record, he and Les, they continually did not commit because we kept asking about it because they would not commit on the record. So if you're a reporter and you're constantly gathering those clues and those tidbits, those are significant despite what Aaron said publicly. If the coach and the GM were not saying the same things publicly, and the coach has even said, you have to wait for players to sky down. You can't really take like what they say in the heat of the moment. If he comes out and says that, like, I think, you know, that's when some of the seeds were sown. And I talked about this on the previous podcast, where I inadvertently scared a bunch of you guys, and I'm sorry about that. But I think that we can allow a person the grace of skying down from adrenaline to take all of this with nuance and context and not, well, he said, like, that shouldn't be the reaction here. I would hope that we approach this whole thing with nuance. But it's like those, because the GM and the head coach were offered multiple opportunities to be on the record and reiterate that commitment, and it didn't happen. That's why I went into the combine and dug around and was doing that reporting that is on The Athletic and was, you know, in the 11 personnel podcast from that time about questions that other people, league sources had about Aaron's situation. So the other thing that you look back on in hindsight is that Aaron was clearly soaking in the entire 2023 season. And guys, like, honestly, and you saw some of it on the field, some of those clips, him skipping with Kobe Turner and doing the conductor, but like the things that happened in the locker room, the things that are sort of sacred to that space. And it was really beautiful. Some of the things, the joking around and the conversations and the way he would just sort of like sit in the sunshine with Eric Henderson every once in a while. And I have this picture that I keep thinking about from training camp. And I think you guys remember it. It was like he was sitting on this stack of tackling pads. And it was like far, far prior to when anyone else was out there on the field. And Aaron was sort of just like sitting there by himself, kind of looked like Thanos. He was like looking off into the distance. And I don't know, you just put those pieces together in your brain and you hold on. You think about those little moments again, if you are a reporter and you're gathering clues and tidbits and you're just holding on to things until maybe it's the right time to really put everything together. And so when the news comes out, I will say we had the story pre-written in case this was based on some of the smoke and the tea leaves in case this was going to be the situation. And I really hoped we didn't have to publish it for a little while longer. Because I, as I wrote my column, I, like many of us, I'm selfish. I really, really enjoy seeing somebody who is so great at their craft do their craft. And so this, you know, right before that was a restructure, was reported. Now, I want to make it very, very clear. The restructure was reported Friday, which means, and it was reported by Jason over at Over the Cap, and he does an amazing job. And he often sources with, like, he confirms information with teams, and he's like, it's rock solid stuff over there. But usually when a restructure happens, first it's agreed to, and then the money is sort of managed around and reallocated and the spreadsheet has changed, and then they can file the notice to the league office. And then it's not until later that usually Over the Cap or some of these public sites do actually get the full terms, because they also have to go through the vetting process. And then the league office has to formally file it. So it was reported that this happened Friday, and it showed up on Over the Cap on Friday, but it was done earlier than that, which again, is on track with my reporting that the Rams knew about this entering free agency and did a restructure specifically as really the only thing in that moment, specifically in that moment that you could do with that contract to free up cap space ahead of free agency. So I say in that moment because, and go read this Jason's article at Over the Cap. It has some really great outlining of the contract itself, which is still on the Rams books for now. But like I mentioned before, there are different levers that can be pulled at different times over the next couple of months that can reallocate some of the money on that contract. So again, the significance of that contract and the levers that are pretty much hidden other than from people who now have copies of the contract. That is why league sources around the combine had real questions about Aaron, because if the Rams could free up money That would mean different things for different position markets and for other teams, depending on if the Rams would be more or less competitive in those markets and against those other teams, and also have the funds to do so. That freed up about $9 million in space to help them with free agency in advance. This is something where they helped Aaron, and Erica, who does a great job running a lot of his wife, Erica Donald, who does a great job running a lot of his marketing and his business affairs. The Rams, as you saw very clearly by the release, they helped him prepare some of these things. They had their own graphics ready to go. So again, not caught off guard by this, not a total huge significant surprise. I will say that I think there was and still is hope that maybe he changes his mind. And again, go read that Over the Cap article, because some levers don't have to be pulled right away, and that is significant. But I have to tell you, like, from everything I've heard from talking to people in the building, he also made this decision with a lot of peace and clarity and with his family in mind. I wrote about this in my column. To be healthy for one's family for the long term is an absolute unfortunate rarity in the NFL, particularly for what a player like Aaron Donald and so many other players put their bodies through. And his kids are young. And I remember I told this story in an interview the other day. I think one of my favorite memories from 2023 is one day Aaron came into the media room, and it was before his interview started at the podium. And he started talking about like his son's Pee Wee football highlights. And he was transported into that moment with his kid. And he has, you know, he has kids who are going to be growing up, and he wants to be there for them. And it's not like he hasn't been. I think you see, and Erica has talked about this a lot, about how present he has been despite the tolls of an NFL season. But in order to throw yourself into greatness at the level that he was operating, there are sacrifices. There are other time allocations that you have to make as a human being. And honestly, like, from what I know about the decision-making process and walking away from that amount of money, I really respect that. I respect wanting to be, healthy long-term for your family. So, you know, you're not limping around, you know, walking your daughter down the aisle, or things like that really pull at you that you think about. And I think there are other reasons that, you know, it is so rare to retire at the top of one's game. He really got an example from Andrew Whitworth, frankly. Andrew Whitworth won a Super Bowl and retired at 40 and played so much longer than anyone ever could have expected, and did so at such a high level, won a Super Bowl, basically looked around and was like, it does not, you know, get better than this, and peacefully retired. And it didn't mean that there wasn't the pull and the ache of like wanting to come back and wanting to be around. I would not be surprised to see Aaron Donald working out in Los Angeles in the offseason. Like, I won't be surprised to see that, because it's not just like rip the Band-Aid and you're okay. It's really hard transitioning into retirement, particularly the longer you play and at higher level, and how much camaraderie you have with your teammates, you miss that. And so I have no doubt that it will be an ache, and that kind of goes into the significance of the decision. And you know, the other sort of outrage I saw, which, by the way, this is fair. I agree with this one, where it's like, and the Rams still didn't spend on the defensive line or pass rusher in free agency. I mean, feel your feelings on that one, because that there are significant holes in this front line. And, you know, you are never replacing Aaron Donald. You're just not. So I can, on the one hand, part of this is I understand you're not going to just sign somebody to come right in and say, okay, yeah, I'm filling that spot. Like, that's a horrible position to put someone else in, first of all. But aside from that, logistically and structurally, it just didn't make sense with where the Rams' investments were going.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
So I want to be really clear on this because I think it does get overlooked quite a bit. It is true, by the way, that the Rams desperately need to add another pass rusher. It is true that they desperately need to add multiple defensive linemen to this roster. So please hear me when I'm saying that. I am not disagreeing with anybody. But what I can do is provide context for why they spent where they did and why they didn't spend in other spots yet. It's been a week. There's a lot of offseason left, including the draft and the latter waves of free agency, where the waters in which they quite like to swim. There's also the trade deadline, and this team will not be closed for business until the trade deadline. And that's just a reality. So those things being true, it wasn't that they didn't like the players who were at that top tier of free agency at pass rusher. As you guys will recall, 2 years ago, when he was 27, I reported that the Rams inquired into the availability of Danielle Hunter as someone who potentially could be, someone that they would bring in. And then it didn't happen, right? And then after that, they looked at Brian Burns and like all these things. So you're looking at some of the top guys here. And I shared this out in a post on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter. And you have to look at this a lot of times as a sliding scale, age and cost, age and cost, age and cost. I would say that Danielle Hunter was like the perfect fit for the Rams in terms of that sliding scale 2 years ago at age 27, when they first inquired into him, based on what it would cost and what it still costs. Now, I have to tell you that it does not mean that they think less of him as a player. He is outstanding. I think we all have eyeballs in our heads, or I hope we all do. He is an outstanding football player. But when you look at it from a team building perspective, investing that much money on a player who already now 2 to 3 years past the time when you were initially interested in bringing him in at a certain cost, he has produced for another team and would still demand a significant cost, right? So you lost 3 years of that time that you were previously willing to invest in, and you still would be asked to make a significant investment into a future you are less certain because of those 3 years already spent on someone else's roster and the wear and tear and the reps and all of that. Okay. So Jonathan Greenard, who I think is a great player and I think he's going to have a great year. He really fit the age scale, right? Like he would have been perfect for that as that like bridge player who could have taken the Rams from the Aaron Donald era into the post Aaron Donald era. And you know, been productive and all of that. But I want to say too, the Rams don't actually know what it will look like for a pass rusher to come in minus Aaron Donald. That was a known quantity for them for a really long time. Aaron Donald got people paid. Pass rushing next to Aaron Donald was a sure thing. You knew what you were going to get. And so you were okay investing because you knew exactly what type of production you would then have because of the space and attention and destruction and disruption that Aaron himself created and occupied. So now you're looking really hard at cost and you're like, okay, cost is now getting competitive with cost is now a no-go for the Rams. So Greenard now falls down the priority list, and a guy like Brian Burns now, who was at one point a candidate for them, went, you know, is now no longer a candidate for them. And they did not compete in that first tier of free agency, in that first tier of pass rushers in free agency. What they were looking at were players who were in that second/third tier, like, you know, Van Ginkle, who was a target of theirs, 28 years old. They were trying to, they wouldn't have paid what he's getting now, but they kind of wanted to wait out his market. They were looking at like, can he be ready for training camp? The foot injury was something on their radar, but he got scooped up. And so, okay, that's it. You're out. This isn't an if then or a before after. This is also happening at the same time that they are deciding, okay, we are going to invest in their offensive line and protecting Matthew Stafford and the run game. Look at where they have invested their money. They paid two guards. They drafted with their first pick last year, pick 36. They drafted Steve Avila, who will move to center, according to multiple team sources, will move to center. They invested in a blocking tight end who has sort of upside of catch, big target for life after Tyler Higbee to complement with later round picks at the position. They also invested in corner, a desperate need for them, but pass rush overall, as I just mentioned, is a little bit of an unknown anyway. And so they're kind of now looking at this, it seems like back to front in terms of who the veterans are and where players are cheap. In the back, they paid a safety in a corner, leaking up to the front. Now you're young and cheap, probably along your defensive line, or you're older and cheap along your defensive line. And you have the options of trade and all of those things. Like I said, if that right player does become available, whether it's via trade or whether they're cut. Certainly not done here. But look at where they chose to invest their money. You know Aaron Donald is calling it at this season. You have two weight-bearing walls left. One of them is your quarterback, who, by the way, has a cap number in 2024 of $49.5 million, right? You've invested a combined $34 million per year into your two guards. Rob Havenstein, I think, is like somewhere between $11 and $14 million this year. I don't have it in front of me. And you've got your, by the grace of God, you've got your left tackle on a second year tender, which is going to be like between $4 to $6 million, right? And so you save a little money there. But you're investing $34 million per year in your two guards. You're investing 3 years, $22.5 million over that span into a blocking tight end. And your quarterback is worth, in 2024, is worth $49.5 million. And by the way, your number one receiver is, or the guy who's supposed to be your number one receiver, is his cap number is $29.7 million in 2024. This is an offensive-minded team with an offensive-minded head coach, and the weight-bearing wall above any weight-bearing wall who you need to keep healthy, because he is a known quantity when he is protected. He is an elite player when he is protected, and you're trying to extend his career, because when he was healthy in 2023, you won 10 games because in part of his heroics, because of your offensive line and because of your run game was fixed. It was significant where a very clear-eyed look at where they instead needed to invest their resources. So that is a significant amount of money and personnel now tied into keeping together one of your two remaining weight-bearing walls, the one that you know for a fact, you know, it finished the year healthy, coming into the year healthy, and elevates your team to a significant level when he is healthy and protected and when he has a run game. So hence you pay the guards, right? So that was decided upon as they entered free agency. This is who we're going to invest in. That's why they were so public. That's why they got Dotson done beforehand. That's why they were public about wanting to keep Coleman Shelton. When Coleman Shelton decided he wanted to test his market, the Rams weren't going to wait until Wednesday and instead got a deal agreed to with Jonah Jackson, and he'll be their left guard. A player they like a lot and are really excited about, who also has played with Matthew Stafford. By the way, we talked to him earlier this week. I guess they called him the Wizard. The rookies over there in Detroit called him the Wizard because he knows everything. I thought that was endearing. So it's quite clear. And really, it was very clear before Aaron made his official announcement, but understanding they knew entering free agency what his announcement would be, it was still quite clear where they have it decided to invest their finances. And I say this every year, but look at their head coach, look at who the head coach is, look at the way this roster is structured. It is an offensive-minded head coach. And by the way, a head coach who received proof of concept in 2023 when he got his offense back off the ground. It was a top 10 offense, top 7 offense in many categories, and a quarterback playing like a top 5 quarterback in many categories because he was protected, because he had a run game, and he had proof of concept. I mean, the defense, are we forgetting? Like, the no-name defense that completely got gutted was the sacrificial lamb for the sake of investing in the offense. Like, that doesn't just stop because it was the end of 2023. Like, they are still investing in this offense. They're still going young and cheap with maybe a couple exceptions. I'm not going to rule out trade. I'm not going to rule out veteran cuts. I'm not ruling that out. But this is still going to be a young and cheap relative defense, other than a couple of key veterans at certain spots. To me, investing back to front also is a sign of wanting to stay cost controlled over the next 3 years, because you either are going to, you aren't cost controlled anymore at quarterback. You're not cost controlled anymore along your offensive line. So the complement to that has to come somewhere else. Okay. It could come up front. Kobe Turner and Byron Young, definitely cost controlled for the next 3 years. That aligns with the 3-year span of their significant investments, by the way, of their guards and this tight end. And so you can decide who you pay after that span, after 3 years. And then it wouldn't surprise me if they stay young and cheap, at pass rusher, or again, find a, like Van Ginkle stature tier, I guess, of player who becomes available because someone else has drafted and the Rams didn't, and then there's cuts or there's a trade, or like, I'm not ruling any of that out. Do not discount either how highly they think about Kobe Turner. It's not that he doesn't need help in there. They're like far too thin on the inside. They need another pass rusher, as I've said many, many times. I am not disagreeing with that at all. Everyone is correct. Like, this is a glaring and obvious need. It's just that multiple things are true, and they decided to invest on the side of the ball that lifts their entire team, regardless of what their defense looks like, in terms of personnel. And it was pretty, pretty bad at the start of last year. And those guys, a lot of them grew up quite a bit. But it's not that they just said, just mail it in. Or like, no, it's that they decided where they're going to invest. The head coach believes that this excelling at a top level in this phase lifts the other phase. And that's what they've decided to do. And they made it clear that the bulk of their resources will go to offense while Matthew Stafford is still playing at a high level, keeping him healthy and potentially extending his career. Okay. So should we do some breathing exercises? We haven't done these in a while, but I hope everyone truly is doing fine. And so we're going to go in and out like two times. Okay. You guys ready to do this with me? Okay. I would say, too, what really helps is if you put your hands on your sides, which I'm doing right now, with your fingers pointed down, put them sort of like your palm up near the bottom of your rib cage and sort of press. And then we're going to go in and out. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. You guys want to do that one more time? We're going to go in and out. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Everyone feeling better? Feeling good? I think I raised my voice a little bit there. I'm sorry about that. I normally don't do that, but I could tell I was getting tense. A lot of spreadsheets, man. A lot of spreadsheets. Okay. So I'm going to get you guys out of here. I appreciate all of you and like keep the questions coming. Keep the feedback coming. I love hearing about your Aaron Donald memories. I've gotten some really nice emails from a couple of you. Okay, so there's a couple of other notes of free agency I want to get to. Cam Curl, I think. So I've been texting with a couple people in Rams, and coaches could not be more excited to get him in the building. He is a player to watch. He is the first safety they've extended or paid on a multi-year since 2019. Eric Weddle. And I think that's significant. I think that he will do a lot of jobs for them as well. Then the Jimmy Garoppolo contract. He was a system fit. He is a better system fit than Carson Wentz. I don't say that to belittle or criticize anybody. It is simply a fact. And I think that what Wentz did last year was really come in and endear himself behind the scenes in a lot of ways to some of his teammates by working really hard and just trying to kind of get back into football. And then when we started in week 18 and won against the San Francisco 49ers, you have to remember Sean McVay did not design that game plan. Sean was already going to the playoffs at that point, and Mike LaFleur got a huge opportunity and did really well with that opportunity to take the lead on that game plan, to call the game. It was a totally different offense. And remember, they were also force feeding Puka Nacua at one point. It was a totally different offense than what they actually play. Like, they went for it on fourth down and they had, like, you know, some zone read and, like, you know, all of this stuff. And Mike LaFleur called that game, and it's not like Sean just like disappeared or anything like that. It was, hey, let's delegate for once, you know, let's give other people opportunities to do things. And hey, they're going to thrive. And this is a totally different offense and someone else is calling it. So what Mike did that I really appreciated was he installed something that really works for Carson, but that is not the normal offense that the Rams run. And you're not going to do that in a normal situation where you're just going to overhaul it for 1 week or 2 weeks only. You're just not going to do that. That's not sound strategy. That's not efficient process for an entire building. And so you need a backup who also is a system fit. Sean McVay has years and years of experience with Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo has years and years of experience inside a system whose, while structurally and schematically looks different now, the language of which has not deviated a ton from the language of Sean McVay's offense. So it fits and it's cheap. And like that is what it is, guys. Okay. They tendered Mike Hoyt, which was a surprise, but he'll be, because they were not initially expecting to do that. But he has the right of first refusal tender and it is not guaranteed money. So, this is a kind of a fluid situation over the next couple of months. But I expect Hoyt, if he does sign the tender, and then if the Rams do keep him after he signs the tender, I expect him to take on a larger role in special teams, and then also, which badly needs it, as we know, and then also to go back to being a rotational player. I'll tell you this, if they're starting Byron Young and Mike Hoyt, who is really great at doing the things that he's good at doing, and when asked to do things outside of the things he's good at doing, like any human on earth struggles a little bit. Something went terribly wrong in all of their planning if they don't bring in another pass rusher. That's all I'll say about that. Whether it's via the draft or trade or cuts or whatever, like I've mentioned, something went terribly wrong if they don't do that, because that's a need, as we know, and also defensive line. The Alaric Jackson tender, second round tender, that one was not a surprise, but they have until April to sign those. If another team comes in with an offer sheet, the Rams can match that offer sheet, or else they could receive a second round pick from that offer sheet team if they decide not to match that offer sheet. And finally, yes, Joe Noteboom did take a pay cut. I've been saying this for weeks. I said, if he is not cut, then he took a pay cut. If he's not cut by, you know, the start of the league year, then that means he took a pay cut. Politely referred to in this case as a restructure, although a restructure doesn't always mean a pay cut. It does mean that in this case. That was one of the number one questions that I did get on social media. But he was not cut. He was not released, which means he took a pay cut to stay. This happened with Brian Allen last year, took a pay cut to stay and ended up being the backup all year. Joe Noteboom ended up taking a pay cut to stay and for now is in the sixth man role. And while he took some money was restructured into a bonus that would be guaranteed money for him. Remember, the Rams were the ones that did sign this contract, that did give him this contract. So some of it's rolled into a bonus for him, but they're keeping him on an annual salary of, it's like, I think $5 million, which is right in that sweet spot of what they wanted. And Joe Noteboom and his family stay in Los Angeles and provide that sort of swing tackle depth. So panic can recede on that as well. Last thing I wanted to say is that league meetings are next week. This will be the first time that Sean McVay and Les Snead will speak publicly since Aaron Donald's retirement, other than a couple of one-off interviews they've done with some longtime journalists and personalities. And so this will be significant in that they're all expected to be there. All of the brass are expected to be there. I will say too, and I guess maybe this is a little bit of a dare too, because I don't think he listens to this podcast, but I'm hopeful someone in his department does. This is always the one time of the year where we talk with Tony Pastores on the record. Tony Pastores will be able to shed a lot of light on Aaron Donald's contract. So I am looking forward to discussing this with the AI program that is known as Tony Pastores. You guys, I'm sorry, this is late. I hope you accept my apology for this being late after the news. I know a lot of people wanted to process in real time, but as you can see, I had a lot of reporting to do and a lot of writing to do and wanted to do diligence and do and pay due respect to somebody who was always very kind to me, somebody who always had a joke or a laugh for anyone who was around him in that locker room, and somebody who is and was a very, very private person and is still that way. But also somebody who, if like when I talked to him for my creativity story that I wrote, and I'm so glad I got to write that this year, about all the ways that Aaron Donald is creative and how it starts in practice, who gave me the time and really helped me understand his perspective and really helped me understand how he sees pass rushing and as this blend of art and science and math, and just really, really had a brilliant experience covering Aaron Donald. I thank Aaron for always being kind and genuinely cool to be around. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with this next chapter. I'm not personally, I'm an optimist. I'm a silver linings person. So I'm not personally shutting the door completely. He might have already done that, but I'm not doing that. This is the team that signed. I'll leave you guys with this slightly tongue in cheek. This is the team that pulled Eric Weddle off the couch to help them win a Super Bowl. So I don't rule out anything. I've texted a lot of people that over the last couple of days. Like, I do not rule out anything from this team ever. So, keep the Rams weird 2024. I hope you guys are taking care of yourselves. I hope you're taking care of each other. I hope you're staying caffeinated. I hope you're staying hydrated. And, I've done my best reporting through free agency, reporting through this situation. Appreciate those who are interested in context. Appreciate those who are interested in the why. And, I hear you guys and I see your questions and I try to get to as many as I can. And hopefully can keep doing that into 2024. And I will see you guys next time.
Be the best and you got to pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you got to do a little extra things to get it.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.